fact that you're listening to this podcast right now means that you're interested in improving some area or aspect of your life. You already believe that you can change and improve your life by changing and improving the way you think. That seems like a given. But what may not be as obvious is why you do the things you do, in the specific ways and manners in which you do them. For example, why is connecting with some people easier for you than with others? Why do you seem to habitually react in certain ways to certain things? Setting spiritual issues and influences aside just for the moment, the basic answer to these types of questions lies in the arena of personality. Dr. Mels Carbonell, author of How to Solve the People Puzzle, once said, quote, "Most of our problems stem from personality clashes. Most of our hurts come from personality conflicts," end quote. So, I suppose the real question is, how do we define and or measure personality? I mentioned in previous episodes that a lot of people are using the Enneagram to help answer those questions. Personally, I would never, ever recommend that tool for the reasons that I explained in the previous episodes. But a model I highly recommend is the DISC. DISC makes no spiritual or supernatural claims. In fact, its straightforward simplicity is part of its brilliance. Because we are creatures of habit, DISC analyzes both current and past behaviors and then uses the data that you give to identify your distinct habitual behavioral patterns and forecast future behaviors, sort of like a predictive analytics model for your personality. So theoretically, DISC specifically analyzes two things. Number one, how we feel about our context, and number two, how we feel about ourselves in context. Now, before we dive in, let me give you a bit of the DISC backstory. The idea that there are four different personality styles has been around for thousands of years, beginning with Hippocrates. Hippocrates, known as the father of modern medicine, is first credited with classifying the four basic temperament types around 400 years before the birth of Christ. Now, he believed that these types were associated with the chemical makeup of our blood, which is where we get the terms choleric, melancholic, phlegmatic, and sanguine. Aristotle and the Greeks viewed everything in nature as having the innate properties found within four fundamental components of all life forces: fire, earth, water, and air. But the real heart of modern personality theories comes from the early 1900s, when there was an explosion of groundbreaking work in the field of psychology. Giants in the field, such as Sigmund Freud, John B. Watson, Alfred Adler, and Carl Jung, all developed theories that are still studied today. Jung developed a type of theory in which he identified what he called the four basic functions and the four basic attitudes of man's innate, in other words, hardwired, nature. What we know as the Myers-Briggs type indicator is based on Jungian typology. Meanwhile, in 1928, at the same exact time that all these famous names were studying abnormal psychology to try and extrapolate what is normal, a young Harvard psychologist named William Moulton Marston developed his theory in his book, Emotions of Normal People. Now, in that book, Marston described a two-dimensional model of behavior based on, one, how we feel about our environment, and two, how we feel about ourselves. Side note, if you really want to learn some wild history, look up how and why Marston created the comic book character Wonder Woman. That's some crazy stuff for sure. Anyway, back to Marston's two-dimensional model of behavior. Concerning how we feel about our environment, on one end of the spectrum, some see life as a series of challenges. They naturally are more guarded, and they live comfortably with a healthy sense of skepticism. They're always drawn to question things. On the other end of that spectrum, we have those who tend to see the world as consistently friendly or cooperative. They're naturally warmer and more open and accepting. Now, and this is critical and foundational behind the disc theory, each of us has the ability to see things both ways. It just depends on the situation. Now, we're more or less inclined towards one or the other. In other words, one seems easier or more natural, but we can see both ways. If you were drawing a graph, the other dimension, represented by a line perpendicular to the environment line, concerns how we see ourselves, which Marston described as a power dynamic. Now, on one end of that spectrum are those who naturally feel in control of most every situation. In other words, they are confident and are typically looking to act upon their environment. On the other end of that spectrum are those who feel less powerful and thus are much more careful and more willing to adapt to the demands of the environment. Again, each of us has the ability to be confident or careful, depending on the situation, though we are more or less inclined towards one or the other. Now, when combined, these two dimensions produce the disc, four distinct quadrants of emotional and behavioral styles or habits. The D style has a habit of being confident in a challenging environment. The I style has a habit of being confident in a cooperative environment. The S style has a habit of being careful in a cooperative environment. And the C style has a habit of being careful in a challenging environment. So let's take a brief look at each of these four personality styles and describe them in a little more detail. The D type: decisive, direct, driving, demanding, determined, doer. Because the D type feels confident in what they interpret as a challenging environment, they are fueled by what Marston described as a dominance emotion. Now, this emotion drives them to try and shape their environment by overcoming opposition. As such, D types tend to be very results-oriented and strong-willed. They need freedom from control. They need a sense of authority. They need varied activities and difficult assignments. Perhaps even more importantly, Ds need choices, not ultimatums, because they'll often see themselves as more powerful than the ultimatum, and they may feel compelled to prove that point. The D motto is, get it done. So when working with a D, get to the point and avoid sugarcoating the issues or an overabundance of details. The I type: inspirational, impressive, influential, irresistible. Because the I type feels confident in what they interpret as a cooperative environment, they are driven by what Marston described as an inducement emotion, which is just another way of saying influence or persuasion. This emotion compels them to try and shape their environment by persuading others. Now, as such, I types tend to be very outgoing, enthusiastic, and optimistic. They like prestige, recognition, and approval. Most eyes also need freedom from details. They need opportunities to help and motivate others, and they need plenty of time to verbalize their ideas. The eye motto is, get noticed. When working with an eye, try to reflect their sunny, bright personality and give up the spotlight, that place of influence, whenever appropriate. The S type: supportive, stable, steady, sensitive, servant-hearted. Because the S type feels the need to be careful in what they interpret as a cooperative environment, they are driven by what Marston described as a submission or supportive emotion. This emotion motivates them to adapt to their environment in order to help others succeed. Now, as such, S types are drawn to opportunities that allow them to support the team by focusing on a single area of specialization. Now, this in turn helps them establish that sense of security and stability that they need. They prefer consistent and familiar environments. The S motto is, get along. So, when working with an S, be warm, be friendly, be sincere. If possible, make room for some collaboration. Also, try not to overwhelm them with your energy or information and respect their careful nature. The C type, cautious, conscientious, concise, competent, contemplative. Because the C type feels the need to be careful in what they interpret as a challenging environment, they are motivated by what Marston described as a compliance emotion. Now, this emotion drives them to adapt to their environment in order to ensure quality. As such, C-types love clearly defined tasks that require precision and planning so that they can demonstrate the level of their compliance. They need time to think, and they're eternally focused on quality and correctness. The C motto is, get it right. So when working with a C, focus on the facts and avoid trying to sway them with emotion. You can show appreciation, but do so for their logic and their analysis and expect a little skepticism to your ideas. So that's the DISC theory in a nutshell. After 30 years of using and studying the DISC, I can confidently say that understanding habitual personality patterns is one of the true keys to improving your relationships and solving the people puzzle. As author, professor, and social psychologist Dr. Roy Baumeister says, self-awareness is a critical component in self-regulation. In other words, if you don't have at least some basic understanding of both what you do and why you do it, it's going to be practically impossible to change. In Psalm 119, verse 66, David prays, quote, teach me proper discernment and understanding, end quote. The word he uses there literally means taste. Think of it like this. The ability to taste subtle differences in food and drink is really a delightful gift. The same is true of right and wrong according to God's word, as in Psalm 119. But it's also true of ourselves. Our values, our beliefs, our motivations, our desires, our strengths, our weaknesses, and more. So that's why I've built a free Discernible You online personality assessment based on Dr. Marston's DISC theory. It only takes about 7 minutes to complete the assessment, and bonus, it doesn't require you to think too hard about anything. You simply look at a series of words and then rate how often each word describes you. The goal of the assessment is to help you learn to discern the various aspects of your habitual behavioral style. And armed with this type of powerful self-awareness, you'll be on your way to achieving the kind of change that really makes a difference in your life. You can access your free assessment at ericwilbanks.com/DISC Habits. That's DISCHABITS. And I'll also include that link in the show notes. Remember, a better mind always leads to a better life.